And you may be seated. Let's turn to Psalm 70, Psalms 18. We'll read the first three verses. Psalms 18. I preach on this every once in a while. I thought Doug there was going to preach on it for a while, but I'll try to finish up what he didn't mention. All right. Psalms 18, verses 1, 2, and 3. All right, here we go. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Now, we don't have to worry about whether we're going to have the strength to stand if we should be in the midst of an earthquake or if some people should be killed around us. Why not? Why do we not have to worry about being strong enough to do that? Yeah. He doesn't even say, I'll give you strength. He says, He is our strength. And when that hour comes that you couldn't face now because you don't have grace for it, but when the hour comes, if you love the Lord, you'll be strong and you'll stand and you'll do just fine. Now, the world is full of angels and God's people are compassed about with angels and nothing is going to happen to anybody that is not in God's express will. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I'm not worried about death at all. Only thing I worry about is missing God. But I'm not worried about dying, and if we all died together, that's no big deal. Do you know that? Oh, I hope you have that point of view. As a Christian, that's part of your inheritance. You're not to fear death. You don't look at the flesh. Just look at the spiritual realm, and God will take care of us. We don't have to worry about it. And God will be our strength in that day, and we'll know what to do. The Lord is my rock. Now, we don't appreciate these things until we're in bad trouble. I mean, you read it when you're a young person, the Lord is my rock, the Lord is my rock. You know, but when the time comes in your life when you are really being tested, and like Waller was talking about tonight, should this place, you know, and we say should, like it's Oz or far off, the scientists say we are overdue for a major shaking. And when that happens, Audrey and I were teaching school in San Diego, 1950, teaching in the Brother Dow, the San Diego Christian Schools, 1950. And there was a good round shake. It was the first one I'd ever experienced. Now, how many have been in an earthquake? Most of us. And it was a sock. How many remember the one in 1950? Was there anyone remember that? You remember that, Harvey? And we were teaching school, and Audrey was teaching the first grade, and she had the children pray. They just, as soon as it stopped, they prayed it wouldn't shake anymore. Remember that, Audrey? Who was it that you had lead that prayer? Do you remember? Did you lead it? I think it was one of the little kids you had prayed. But anyway, it stopped. It just didn't shake anymore. But that is the most unnerving thing. I mean, it's just not these little rumbles that we have, but I mean a real rocker. And boy, that's when we want to be on the Lord. The Lord is my rock. And no matter what, if our house is banged up or something, or if it falls flat, that isn't the end of the world. You know that? A lot of people in Lebanon tonight have had their homes demolished, and we see on the television, and there they're sitting on the curb building a fire, and we think that couldn't happen to us. It could happen, you know? And the thing about it is life goes on. That isn't the end of the life. see your home in ruins, and even if someone in the family was killed, life doesn't stop. If it just stopped and you say, oh, it's all over. No, somehow, after 2 or 3 hours pass, you get hungry, and you get thirsty, and your clothes are dirty, and you've got to wash your face and your hands, and then you're sleepy, and you've got to sleep, and you get up the next morning shell-shocked, but somehow there's things in front of you. Hank could tell us a few things about that. He and Marie were through the war. Hank was through the bombing in Berlin. He could tell you. He doesn't talk about it much because it's not a very pleasant thing. But there's no use us behaving like ostriches. It's happening in the world now. It could happen in our area this year, next year. Life goes on, people. Life goes on. And so we just take a matter-of-fact thing and say, well, at one time I had this and I had that. Now I don't have it, but I've still got Jesus. Hallelujah. And if anything happens to your loved ones, they've been listening to your preaching. They'll call out to God in their hour of need. They're all right. And you're all right. And you know what God has done? He's just turned a page in your book. That's all. I got that expression. There was a lady who was on television, just on the radio, and they interviewed her, and she's a missionary, and she's talking about the time that her husband died. And she said, God just turned a page in my book. Praise the Lord. And she didn't get all wiped out. She entered into a whole new life. And she was rejoicing and she was praising, and God made her very fruitful. You see, it was time for her husband. His time on earth was gone. That was fruitful. To be kept past your time is like an apple that's on the tree too long. It just rots and the birds eat it. There's a ripeness to life. Praise the Lord. Don't get somber on me. There is a ripeness to life, people, and when our time comes and we're ripe, God picks us. Hallelujah. And human ties ought never to be so strong that we can't recover. Because if God takes a loved one and he doesn't take us, what God is saying is that person was ripe. That was their adventure. Now for you, I'm turning a new page in your book. You are supposed to go on because your inheritance isn't ripe yet. You see? And that spirit, now that may be too mature for some. They say, oh God, I couldn't stand. Yes, you could stand. Millions have before you, and millions will after you. And life will go on the same, and time wounds all heals, that's true. But it also heals all wounds. Praise the Lord, it does both of those. It does both of those. And eventually the things that you never thought could be repaired are repaired, and 2 years later you can picture mentally your terrible stress. But if the healing has been natural and normal, it's not right to go on grieving and to make an idol of your grief, and 5 and 10 years later you're still weeping and you can't get over it. That's not healthy. The way God has gotten things, time, there's a proper grief, and a mentally healthy person, a year and 2 years, and they are in another realm emotionally. They are healed. They have a wonderful memory, but they have new strength to go forward. Praise the Lord. So life does not come to an end for the people in Beirut, or for us, or for anyone else. And so we don't want to be deceived and shut our eyes and say, now those people where the airplane came down and all those people are dead. Well, that happened on the television, but it didn't really happen. It really happened. And I'm sure there was a lot of wonderful sermons in that town this Sunday. Praise the Lord. And those people just have to go on. And that little 18-month-old girl that was pulled out of the wreckage, her life will go on, and other people's lives will go on. That's the world. Praise the Lord. And the Lord is a rock. He doesn't change. And if we're really on him, no matter what happens, you could get beat down to the rock, but you can't get beat past the rock. And I was noticing in Matthew 7, where Jesus talked about building your house on the rock, he didn't talk about faith. He talked about doing them. He didn't say anybody that believes these sayings of mine in Matthew 7, 24. He says if you hear them and do them, it isn't enough to believe. We have to do them. And you notice that he did not say if the rain come or if the flood come. Brother and sister, there's no if about it. If you live a normal human life, it's going to come. Sooner or later, in some way or another, your house is going to be tested. And if you love the Lord, you're going to stand because your house is on a rock. If you don't, it's all been religious play games. You'll be just like the world. It'll all flop apart on you, and there won't be any rock underneath you. The Lord is our fortress. That is, the devil can't get at us. People worry too much about the devil. The devil can't touch us. Don't join the ranks of the superstitious. There's more superstition in Pentecost than you can shake a stick at. Don't join it. Say, I went into a house, you know what I found out? Oh, it's haunted. Listen, if you get in there, you haunt it. That's right. You just walk into every room with the glory of God on you, and that'll be the end of the haunting. Those devils will be so glad to get out of there. The Lord is our fortress. That is, spirit knockings on the wall, just say, how do you do, and turn over and go to sleep, because they are in trouble, because the angel of the Lord will just knock back at them. That's right. The Lord is our fortress. He is our deliverer when we do get in trouble. He said, my God, he repeats my strength. Now, David knew this because although he was a king, he had many enemies and many hard things came on him, and he learned that God was his strength, in whom I will trust. That's not faith, saints. That's trust. There's a difference there. Praise the Lord. Faith is when you're on top of it. Trust is when things are battering on you and you don't have the spiritual strength to have faith. You're not walking in what we ordinarily call victory. You're walking in trust. You say, man, I don't understand this. It looks like I'm going to get squashed. But I trust you, Lord. Because then somebody says, oh, have faith, pray. Well, you don't feel like it. Because a lot of times you don't feel like praying. You just feel like coming to church and hanging your head. And rejoice! Dance! No, I don't feel like it. You know, it says, is any afflicted, let him do what? Pray. It doesn't say let him rejoice and sing psalms. It says any merry, let him sing psalms. But the worst thing in the world, if you're in bad trouble, is to have some Christian come and, quote, encourage you. How happy you should be. Boy, I'm telling you, you could hit him in the head with a rotten banana. Boy, say, I don't feel happy, and furthermore, I don't feel like feeling happy. I feel miserable, and I want it that way. Did you ever feel that way? That's awful good to the soul. I don't believe in telling the Lord you're healed when you're not. I'd rather tell the Lord I'm sick. People go around confessing they're healed. When I'm sick, I don't confess I'm healed. I confess I'm sick. If I confess I'm healed, the Lord might say, well, he's healed. I don't know who's bothering with him. Lord, I hurt. I feel miserable. Just the saying of it makes you feel better. If you're sure, you can't be that bad. All right, so we trust in God. We don't have to have the answers. We don't have to have the spiritual formulas. We don't even have to have faith. All we have to do is trust that God has the faith. And God will help us. And God will inspire our spirit if we have the trust in him. And we don't lose out. We lean on the Lord, not on our own faith and conquering ability. My buckler, which was a shield, God is a shield that we can, not only just a fort that we're in, but something that we can move around. And boy, you have to be nimble, I'll tell you. This is the time you're looking for it to come from one place, it comes from another. Did you ever notice that? Get yourself all fortified to stand something, you get hit in the back. Man, there goes all your defenses. So you got to get your shield around behind you sometimes. And the horn of my salvation, that isn't a New Year's Eve horn. The shield is defensive. The horn is offensive. It's talking, the Bible means a horn. It's talking like a bull's horn that he does, he executes God's will with it. Bulls execute God's will with their horns. When they see something that doesn't agree with God's will, as they see it, they do something about it with their horns. That's the kind of horns it's talking about. It's offensive. It's your ability to just put your head down and charge. And the Israelites were animal husbandry people, and that's the way they viewed an offensive move. God has to give us horns. I preached that one time up at the Rawhide College there, and some of the cute students come in the next day, they had paper horns made. They're wearing their horns. I told them Christians had to have horns. All they'd ever heard all their life was that the devil had horns. I told them the Christians have horns too. That's right. The devil's got horns. You don't have any. You're kind of at a disadvantage when it comes to butting heads together. Praise the Lord. You get your scalp wounded. So the idea is to get horns, grow them, and I have them anointed with oil. And then when you decide what God's will is and you put your head down and charge, something will move. But if you don't have any horns, you just get a sore head. All right, now, in my high tower, we pray and we love the Lord. God gets us up. We live too low. We're too much moved by the news. Oh, this is going to happen. No, we get up and we get to where God is talking. What you've got to watch out is when God and the news agree. That's why we're moving on this earthquake thing, is because we feel in the spiritual realm that the Lord is going to move this way. But if it was just a scientist, we put some faith in it, not too much. But when the spiritual realm is saying catastrophe's coming, and the natural realm is saying catastrophe's coming, that's when you want to move. Praise the Lord. If it's just the natural realm, you don't have to worry about it. If it's just the spiritual realm, say, well, maybe I'm getting it, maybe I'm not. But when you are getting the same thing in the spirit that the natural scientists are saying, and it's in the paper, watch it. Because that's when something's going to work. All right, so God gets us up on high where we can be defended and we don't have to be lashed with every up and down of the world. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. Saints is talking about prayer. David did not exercise faith like faith is being taught today. See, we don't try to use our faith. We don't try to command the thing. We call upon the Lord. How long has it been since you called upon the Lord? You'd be surprised how little Christians pray. That's right. If they're feeling good, they don't pray. Or somebody will tell them, well, all you've got to do is have faith. Or just be obedient. Or 10,000 reasons that people have for not praying. But I tell you, this ministry works on prayer. I have absolute faith in prayer. If something goes wrong, call on the Lord. I don't have faith in faith. Particularly my faith. Or my revelations or anything else. I don't have that much faith in them. But I've got faith in whatever he's given me, in Jesus. Praise the Lord. And I don't know when I'm praying right sometimes and when I'm praying wrong. And I say, oh God, do something. Steer me around here. God help. I yell at God all the time. You say, why don't you whisper? Because God's church should be nice and quiet. Because I'm afraid he won't hear me. So I yell. I yell, boy, the cab of that truck is sanctified. I'm going to tell you that. There's more yelling going on in the cab of that truck. As hot as it is, I drive with the window up. Not that I have air conditioning. I don't. And it's terrible in there, but I don't want to nerve the people next to me on the highway. Lord! Do something! What's going on around here? I don't know. But God, you know, you got the power. I will call on the Lord. I don't have it figured out. Do you? Well, then we should call on the Lord. That doesn't mean just thinking good thoughts. That's a part of that. To think good thoughts is a good thing. But we've got to call on the Lord. Because we don't have the answers. And we're not that great spiritually. We need to call on God. Praise the Lord. Oh, God, steer me. Maybe I'm all off the track. God, it's time to do something. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust to him. Oh, God, am I falling asleep around here? Lord, am I half backslid? God, are we on the right track? God, have you left the church? Are we just playing church games? Lord, help. We don't have the answers. God's got the answers. That's what you call praying. That's how you pray. Maybe you don't have to yell. That's all right. But pray. Don't get on your knees and gather wool. Pray. I can't pray on my knees. I get on my knees and put my head down. I go sound asleep. I don't know. know whether I'm not getting enough sleep or I'm old or lazy or what, but I get on my knees and put my brain runs in overdrive on 8 million worthless things. I daydream and drowse and I'm half asleep and it's hot. I got to be in motion to pray. Man, I don't know how people do it when they kneel down and pray. I don't know how you keep your brains on what you're doing. Because I cannot do it. I got to be in motion. God, help her on here. Do something. God is objective. He's not inside of us that we pray to God in us or go through some feeling. God is out there. He's objective. He's a person. It didn't say Jesus got down on his knees and stuck his head in the sand. It says he lifted up his eyes to heaven. Jesus lifted up his eyes. He prayed because God is out there. And Jesus was full of God more than we are, right? He was filled with a Godhead bodily, but he didn't go around thinking good thoughts. He was on the mountain all night. Oh, God! And he was getting his television there in living color. God was showing him everything that was going to happen the next day. Oh, God, when he got in Gethsemane, what did you cry? God sent down an angel to help him. Oh, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That's prayer, saint. There's no strong life in the spirit without prayer. Strong prayer. Every day. Several times a day. Put the window up in your car and sweat and pray. Praise the Lord. Don't just drive down looking at all the billboard. Oh, ain't that awful. I've got booze up there and blondes and everything. Oh, that's terrible. Pray! Amen. Well, I thought you'd appreciate that. Now, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. Your enemies don't like that, by the way. They'd much rather have you worry. So just pray and holler and your enemies will take their cue from that. The sorrows of death compassed me or compassed me and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. Now as I say, until you experience this, these are just words. You say, I don't know what he's talking about. The sorrows of death. Well, I don't know. What is that? You know, the floods of ungodly men. Probably you've never been against ungodly men. I have been against ungodly men. It just, God gave me that experience, I guess, to help me to understand the Bible. And I'm not talking about people who work around you swearing. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where people were calculating and you knew they were sitting and calculating and trying to destroy you. With all various means. And boy, they tried some dillies on me. Trying to get you to overact, trying to get you to make a mistake, trying to just calculated ungodly people plotting. You say you have paranoia. Oh, no, I don't. I'm talking about reality. Reality. And that's, oh, boy, when I was going through that little teaching experience, I suddenly realized the Psalms are a book of war. Boy, I don't know how you picture the Psalms, but almost every one of the Psalms is talking about war and enemies. You read the Psalms, you'll see over and over, my enemies did this, my enemies did that. Even the 23rd Psalm, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. The Psalms are a book of war. They're David's expression of the battles that he fought because he was righteous in God's sight. And that's when, oh, I go into the Psalms and it says, let the wicked fall into the snare that they have made. I said, amen, Lord. I hope they end up with their feet over their head. Boy, they were laying snares for me. I said, oh, God, catch them in their snares. They shoot arrows at me. Turn around and spear them with their own arrows. Say, you're not very loving. I don't care. That's how I felt. I still feel that way. Praise the Lord. I forgive people if they ask forgiveness. But when they're out after my hide, I say, Lord, let them fall in their own pit. Amen. Let the ungodly perish. But that is some experience. Boy, I'll tell you, and anxiety and these kinds of things, and you go through some of these harrowing experiences. I hope you never have. And if you ever do, just remember, you'll come out on the other side. But boy, you can get to where you are a nervous wreck. And you wake up in the morning and say, oh, I wish it was night. And at night you say, oh, I can't face the night. I wish it was morning. And that's when the sign. That's when these words are more than just words. You begin to realize what the sorrows of death are. Where you're so down, you can't eat. You ever been under such oppression that you couldn't force food in your mouth? I remember being in such a state of anxiety that I actually had to do, trying to eat, and Audrey gave me a slice of French toast, and I had to pray to take every bite. Just pray, God, just get this one mouthful. One, because I was losing weight, just losing, it seemed, 5 pounds a day because I couldn't eat anything. Just nothing but just pressure. Just pressure. Spiritual pressure. Boy, I tell you, those are some experiences. Sorrows of death, the floods of ungodly men, the sorrows of hell, the snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice. Now, when we cry, God hears us. He heard Doug's cry tonight. And when Doug was saying, oh God, do that. You know, that doesn't fall on deaf ears. God hears that in his temple. You say, well, I don't see the answer to it. You will. You will. You come before the living God and you say, oh God, shake me and make me to do your will. God will do it. I didn't see it today. You may not see it today. You may not see it a month from now or a year from now. But if you've uttered that prayer and believe that prayer, there will come a time in your life when God answers it. Praise the Lord. Amen. You don't call on the name of the Lord in vain. It's a sin to take God's name in vain. It's a sin to take God's name in vain. And people pray and it wasn't answered immediately and they say, well, God didn't hear me. God heard you. What he did was he set the machinery going. You say, God, I want to go to the ends of the earth and serve you. God hears that. He begins to set the machinery going. The first thing you know, it becomes impossible for you to go anywhere. You know why? Because God heard you, and what he's doing is doing the thing that will make it possible. You say, well, I can't understand it. The Bible doesn't say you're going to understand it. That's God's way of doing it. You say, but it's opposite. I ask for God to give me love and I'm angry. I ask for God to give me joy and I'm miserable. I don't understand it. Well, God has ways of doing things that lets us know that he is God. But when you pray, God hears you. Your prayer comes into his ears. And notice what happens. I heard my voice out of his temple and my cry came before him, even into his ears. And when the righteous cry, God hears. Then the earth shook. The first thing God does is shake the earth. And yet we've been talking about that tonight. And you know, there's people in America that are crying for righteousness. Praise the Lord. Do you know what must come before prayer? Who knows what must come before prayer? Humility. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble. And you see, we would do everything but we'll get a message. Now I got it. It's the message of the sons of God. Now I got it. It's faith. Now I got it. It's this. No, that's because our pride, we would rather do anything than pray. It's a perversity in human nature. I guess we feel it's a waste of time or whatever. But before prayer must come humility. We in America, I think I'm correct in saying this, and this is true in the charismatic move, we are high-minded. We are high-minded. We don't realize it, but we are high-minded. And we come to God, it's something like, what it makes you think of is people coming to God like an equal, you know, and saying, well, Lord, I'm here, and you're there. And let me think how I can get this just right so that you answer my prayer. And that's just about what it amounts to. We've got ourselves on an equal thing with God. We're the people. And if we're going to pray, it's going to be dainty and it's going to look right and nice and everybody's going to know that we said our prayer. You know, the best way to pray is to fall on your face in the middle of the aisle and cry, "Oh God, help me." Isn't very dignifying. Huh? Well, you can say amen or oh me. But I've seen a lot of people pray and heard a lot of things and watched things over the last nearly 40 years. And I've come to the conclusion that we have too much pride in the charismatic move, and we like it as long as it's kind of hotsy-totsy. But boy, when it comes to people, and I appreciated Tate's prayer this morning. That's the way they used to pray in the Nazarene church, you know what I mean? Not the Pentecostal church, but the Nazarene church. That's prayer. That's right. I know you, when you pray, you don't have to get beside yourself. But that's, but neither are you going to approach God as an equal and tell him the sixes and sevens and how he's got to move. We have to get to the place where we don't care who knows and where we quit praying to people. How many ever pray to people? You ever pray to people? Huh? We're just praying to people. You know, everybody's listening to us and we're listening to our great swelling words. And God's up there working a crossword puzzle. That's right, because we don't really have a prayer. We're saying our prayer, and it's just dandy. Ah. But boy, when you get in enough trouble, you don't care who is listening or who, where, anything else, and your high-mindedness goes by the board, and you humble yourself. And you say, "God, I'm not what I thought I was." And then God says, "What was that last word in the puzzle? Oh, wait a minute. Somebody's praying." Boy, sometimes we have to get knocked awful low before we admit to ourselves we're not as hot as we thought we were. Shall humble themselves. Humble ourselves before God. We're not God's answer to all of God's dreams. We're just clay that God has had mercy on. And we're not educated to that extent that God owes us anything. We need to just cry unto God. And if enough American people say, "God, we're not a Christian nation," and I say that respectfully, people must think I've got something against America. Listen, when America was in World War II, I enlisted when I was 17. If you didn't enlist when you were 17, then you've got nothing to say against me. I enlisted in the Marine Corps when I was 17. Tried to get myself killed, tried to get in field telephone, did everything I could, tried to get in sniper school, and they put me in radar. It wasn't my doing. I wanted to go to sniper school. I tried awful hard to get myself killed. So don't talk to me about patriotism. Because we have a great nation. It has the potential for being a great nation. And is probably the most benevolent nation on earth. And has fed the poor and clothed the naked. And that's something that God respects. But if we're going to be realistic, we have to realize that Washington, D.C. is the booze capital of the nation. And that's the truth, according to the statistics that I've read. And the things that are going on is chicanery, and it's a one monumental snow job, and most of us are aware of it. The nation is on the wrong road. Praise the Lord. And no amount of singing "My Country 'Tis of Thee," as wonderful as that is, and it conjures up in our mind a wonderful image, and that's great. But the truth of the matter is that we are going into atheism as fast as we can go. And that's the truth. And it doesn't help our nation by saying it's great when it's going down in sin. And if enough people wake up to the fact that we are living in a nation which has declared that it is separate from the church and secular by nature and declared that it will not serve God. And when it dawns on us the implications of what is being said, then we humble ourselves and say, "God, we're not a Christian nation in that sense. We're not an example to the world of godliness. We're not cleaning up abortion and murder and all these other things. It's increasing. We're not striving for justice and righteousness, but truth is falling in the street, and we humble ourselves and say, God, our armed forces are not going to save us, and our education is not going to save us, and we're poor and needy and naked in your sight. God will say, I'm beginning to hear you. And if enough Christian people pray that way for God to save our country, the earth will shake. See? It looks like, you know, the earth shakes. You say, well, God didn't answer our prayer. Yes, he did. That's the beginning of the answer. And when you pray to God and Doug prays a prayer like that and you all say amen and God hears you, you know the next thing that's going to happen? Your earth is going to shake. You're going to be shaken because God's going to hear you. And he's going to say, all right, I'm going to make you righteous. You ready? Fasten your seatbelt. And then, boom, boy, the ride starts. When you come out, you'll be righteous. But in the meanwhile, you'll be sure you're going to fall out of the seat 1,000 feet up. Well, amen. You remember that when you're 1,000 feet up. All right. The earth shook and trembled. The foundations also, the hills moved. You know, it takes God. We've all got hills in our life. That is high places of dominance and confidence. And you know, it takes an awful lot in a strong person to get to the root of their motives. Do you know that? We will hold off and we deal with God. And God deals with us and we parley. We don't realize it. All right, I'll give up this. And we chip it off, you know. And now maybe I'll have peace with God. And we have peace for a week or two or a month or two. And then God's after something else. And our ego, see, begins to retreat and it begins to cover itself around with bronze walls. He's not getting at me. All right, if I have to pray, I'll pray. So we begin to pray. So we're dealing. And all the while, God is looking at that. I'm talking about strong people, not weak people. Strong people. People of character. People of integrity. The stronger, the more durable this process is. And little by little, they give a piece at a time. And God very patiently and skillfully works at that thing. Praise the Lord. Until he hits the nerve center. And boy, when he hits it, you'll know it. Praise the Lord. When he gets to where you are, and he spears that eel, boy. God, I thought I was serving you. I'm the biggest hypocrite in Christendom. And God will say, you're not the biggest hypocrite in Christendom. You're just one of the hypocrites in Christendom. Praise the Lord. But that's where the joy is when we say, oh God, I fought and I lost. Praise the Lord. And you've won. And God says, yeah, I always win. If I don't, you lose. Praise the Lord. So then, and then we say, oh, I see now. Now that's the beginning of the end for us. All right, now, the foundations, God gets at the foundations and he's shaken because he was wroth. You see, God has a controversy with us. I know that makes us feel bad, but he does. He has a controversy with Zion. And when you accept God into your life, he comes into your life and into your heart, and he has a controversy with the sin, and he has a controversy with the self-will. And you go through a warfare until that controversy is completely resolved to God's satisfaction. And the more you get of God in you, the more the controversy will rage. Praise the Lord. Oh, listen, one of the greatest things that can happen, you have somebody come along and they've reached a certain level in Pentecost, and I mean they have come to that level at great cost to themselves, and they are sure of themselves and everything, and maybe they've borne some fruit at a level and they kind of branch out horizontally a little bit, and they're crying unto God for truth, and God decides to take them up a notch. Boy, you want to see the fur fly, because they are so sure they're right. And they say, oh, and boy, then the doubt begins to enter in. Maybe I'm not as perfect as I thought I was. And then the structure begins to crumble. And then God prunes off some of the fruit. And the first thing they know, they're facing God and he has a controversy with them. Right? And they're not what they thought they were. They were so sure, boy, I'm right. And the only thing to do when such is going on is to just get away and just let God work with the person, because boy, that's too complicated to touch. And then when God brings them out, they can see it just as plain as day. But in the meanwhile, it is ego shattering. There's nobody prouder than religious people. Amen? Why is that? I don't know. God says, I didn't choose you because you're the greatest, but because you're the most stiff-necked. Maybe that's part of it. But I think another thing that enters in is that Satan, being extremely religious, always pushes on the growing edge of the revelation. So the move of God where God is in, as soon as God moves to another level, that highest move that had been the highest until the new level came will say, that's of the devil. Every time you'll see that happen, because there is tremendous pride, and we don't realize it, but all of us have great pride. And when God decides to take us on, He gets at that pride, and boy, that's rough, because we were so sure we were spiritual. We talked about other people, and we judged them. We had the answers. Did you ever talk to anybody with the answers?
Yeah.
And that's, the scripture comes to you, the rich he has sent empty away. You can't do a thing. You really can't help people if they know the answers. Did you know that? That's the truth. Well, anyway, we all can learn, can't we? We can learn from the children, as Diana said. All right. And now this is what he did. There went up a smoke of his nostrils. Isn't that wonderful? See, God isn't Santa Claus. He gets angry. Imagine God with the smoke coming out of his nostrils. That's a good picture of God. I have never seen that in a Bible bookstore. I've seen the Good Shepherd. I've seen Jesus with the children. And he has a little curly-headed doll on his right arm. And a little boy, and he's patting their heads. And he has sandals and a sheep, but there's no smoke coming out of his nostrils. Somebody ought to paint a picture of Jesus with the smoke coming out of his nostrils. It would help to balance the situation. I like the one where he's knocking on the United Nations, except he isn't knocking hard enough. I like one with the smoke coming out of his nostrils where he was knocking the top off the building. I get jealous for God's reputation. Either that or... All right, now. Yeah. And fire went out of his mouth, devoured. Coals were kindled by it. That's the coals in us. And when the fire comes out of God, it creates a fire in us. See, we are fires. Our Father is a fire. And we are His children. And we also are fires. Every person is a fire. And God speaks. You never notice, people can speak and doctrine and everything, you remain unmoved. You let God speak once. Boy, you can feel it to your toenails. He doesn't have to say but one word, and boy, you know something took off and went. Coals are kindled by it. It kindles the deepest things that's within us. He doesn't speak much, but when he does, it kindles coals. He bowed the heavens. God is concerned about man and the earth, and when somebody cries unto him, in reality, as Doug was praying, as Tate prayed, as others of us have prayed, in absolute earnestness, God just takes and he just bows the heavens. He bows it all to his will. The demons don't run around and do as they will. God just takes the thing in charge. He says, I am here and I am going to answer. And there's nothing can stop it. There's nothing can stop it. The demons just get out of the way. He bows the heavens and he comes down. See, God is in heaven. He comes down. It's not a case of our exercising faith. See, that's why that thing is so off, because it has people doing their puny little faith. That isn't what we need. We need God to bow the heavens. We need to cry to God, God, you come down and shake this church. Do something in our nation. Shake the whole thing. Shake it till its teeth rattles. Shake this thing and stop the business as usual. God hears that. You bow the heavens. And come down. And darkness was under his feet. And when God moves in our personal life and begins to change us and cause us to grow, and whenever you have a doubt, someone is preaching the word or you hear it on the radio or television or whatever, and you begin to say, you know, God, maybe that's my problem. Maybe I'm just at a spiritual plateau and I can't move because I'm so stuck on myself that God can't get a word in edgewise. And your facade begins to crumble and you begin to doubt. And that's the beginning of truth. Doubt is the beginning of truth. See? Because you never have to worry about opening yourself up to God. Because if what you have is true, there's nothing can shake it. Nothing can shake it. If what you have is of God, you can test it and have it judged and everything. But when you begin to feel a little fear and you begin to feel your facade crumbling, you say, maybe God is dealing with me. That's the beginning of truth. And then just let God... God may give you a vision of the church the way it is, with its silliness and its frivolity and its appealing to people. And here the nations remain undisciplined. They go on to hell. They go on in ignorance. And the things that go on in the churches, the lightness and frivolity and the foolishness and the self-centeredness, and you get a little glimpse of that and you say, God, can that be right? See? Then God comes down, and what he comes down in many times is not great clarity, but thick darkness. Thick darkness. And you don't understand. In fact, an oppression may come upon you. And you say, now I've done it. I've called on the devil. Now I'm being punished because the darkness has come on me instead of light. No, that darkness is God. That's God when he comes. Very often there's a cloud of darkness and you don't understand what you're getting. Way down deep you know the power of God is present, but if you let your mind run away, your mind will run wild with you. And that's why people sometimes will renounce the work of God, because God starts to deal with them and they've always lived a relatively superficial life. And when God begins to deal with them in darkness and things like this, they're not used to it and it scares them and they back off and that's the end of it. He's not a nice little charismatic frolic. He's a deep spirit, full of fire, coals of fire. He deals in the blood and with a sword. He rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. And we don't picture Jesus that way, do we? See, they'll all be light and sunshine. It is not. The Christian life is not all light and sunshine. It's not that way. The Christians that go on with the Lord are Christians who are able to stand when everything is breaking around them, and many times there is darkness and waters, and the deep is calling to the deep, and we don't even know where we are. That's God. That's the way he works. And it's so different from anything we've been used to. You know, we think, oh, I must be in error. I must be off. Something's going right. I can't sing my little songs, and I don't feel just right. I can't get my cues going. I don't know what's going on with me. I call upon God, and now where am I? What is it that is happening to me? I don't even recognize myself. What is happening to me? It's God. See, God's answering your prayer. He wasn't the Bible bookstore Jesus. Right? Coal, smoke's coming out of his nostrils. He comes down, he bows the heavens. At the brightness that was before him, as thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire, the Lord thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. That's how he speaks to us. He sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters were seen. Then God gets down and he shows you why you do what you do, where your motives are coming from. Oh, I'm telling you, that is one of the most revealing things. When you're so sure that you were doing your religious thing and you were so sure that your motive was right, and you had announced it. This is what I'm doing. Everything in my mind is right. I know my road is right. I know it's right. And then God comes and shows you that your motive is not right. It's just you.
You wanted to be seen. You were working out of fear. You were working out of duty. It wasn't Jesus at all. But I had my dreams. I had my cues. And people came to me and they prophesied over me. And the Lord says, nope. You are at track one and I want you on track two. That wasn't me. See, we're ignorant of the spiritual realm. We don't understand that there's all different levels of things and God works at all levels and we may get our cues going and it's worked in times past and now it seems they're all right and they're all coming up and now we're faced with a fork in the road because all of a sudden we don't know which way to go. Has that ever happened to you? You don't know which way to go. You're just not sure. Yeah, your all cues are working and your pride, you say, I don't want to be shown that I'm wrong because I've got my testimony. And what would the world do if I lost my testimony? And then we say, you know, maybe all these years I've been yelling in a barrel. Maybe it was just me. It wasn't God at all. And then you know what you begin to think? God, how could you? How could you? I was so sincere. And I've hung out on the line now. And I didn't want to. And you made me. And I told everybody. And now you say it isn't you. That ever happened to you? Yeah? And you know God doesn't shed a tear. And he doesn't feel sorry for you. And say, I'll change the creation because you're inconvenienced. Or anything of the kind. He said, well, aren't you glad I showed you the truth? Now you just gird yourself up. That's what he said to Job. That means just pull up your diapers. Because you have served me for 20 years and you've done a good job. Reminds me of something C.S. Lewis wrote about a horse of war. And the horse was outdone by a boy in courage. The horses talk in C.S. Lewis. And the horse was so ashamed he wouldn't show his face around. And a wise man came to him and said, now, or someone came to the horse and explained to him, says, you're not the great horse that you thought you were, but you're a pretty good horse, and now you're just going to have to get used to that fact. Praise the Lord. And that's the way that Jesus does with us. He comes with us. No, you're not exactly what you thought you were, but you have prayed, and now I have come to reveal myself to you. I'm not exactly like you thought I was, and you're not exactly like you thought you were. But now we're here for reality. And I love you, and I gave my life for you, and I am your Father. And you're not perfect, but I'm working on you. Praise the Lord. And so we grow. Praise God. Praise God. Jesus. Lord, we do praise you tonight, Lord. Oh, Jesus, help us to call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. Oh, God, we get so dooted up, Lord, in our religious clothes. And, Lord, we mean well. But, God, we're so young yet, Lord. We're so young. We're so young. And, Lord, we pray for all of us tonight, Lord. It's time, Lord, you moved us on to a greater knowledge of God. Lord, we praise you for everything that's been done. We praise you, Lord, that you've taken us out of the crib, Lord. We've learned to crawl and we're learning to walk. And we thank you for that, Lord. We know, Lord, that it's so easy for us to begin to think, Lord, we're kings of the world when we're just learning to crawl and learning to walk. And Lord, help us not to be proud. Help us, Lord, not to fall into the Satan's error and begin to think that you owe us anything. Or that you're like us. Or that, Lord, we're as smart as you are. Oh, God, help us to realize, Lord, we're just the clay of the ground. Lord, we're glad and appreciate how far we've come, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for every trial, every blessing, every bit of insight, every time you've spoken to us, Lord, we praise you. But Lord, we realize, oh God, that we have got to grow. We have got to go on, Lord. We realize many people in the world tonight are suffering. They're without homes, they're without food, they're without medical care. Lord, and you look down at us, Lord, you see those people and you love them. And you see us and you love us, Lord. And help us to realize, oh God, that our nation is not serving God. Lord, it's tokenism, it's spending its power and its resources on the world system that you abominate. And Lord, we pray. We don't pray to be comfortable, Lord, but we pray that we might serve our generation by the will of God. And we pray, Lord, that we might know you, Lord. We know we only know you a tiny bit. And Lord, remove from us all pride, Lord. Remove from us our frozen station, Lord, so that we can be flexible and be as clay in your hands. Oh, hallelujah. Visit us, Lord, with your clouds of thick darkness, Lord, your wonderful ways that you have of showing us our nothingness, Lord, that we might look up and behold Jesus, mightier than the galaxies and the heavens, lifted up altogether the Son of God, brilliant in the effulgence of His glory. And Lord, we might fall at His blessed feet, Lord, of bronze as they glow, and say, Thou art our Christ and our God, and we are just specks of dust in Thy sight. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. We call upon Thy name this night, Lord. We know the nations of the earth are just a drop in the bucket. They vaunt themselves, they parade their might, they make their boasts, they rattle their interest rates, Lord. That is all foolishness and nothing and less than nothing in your sight. Jesus, help us not, Lord, to compare ourselves with what we see in Christendom. Help us to get a new vision of the resurrected Christ. Lord, we don't want to see you just as the Bible story, Jesus. We want to see the one who upholds the stars in their courses. We want to see the Son of the power on high that dwells in truth and in love, that owns all things and possesses all things. We want to see the Word of God from the beginning, from eternity, that has become man and has been raised up to be very God, a very God. Help us to behold Jesus. And beholding your might, awesome Jesus, to call upon your name, Lord, and to offer ourselves for the world, Lord, that we might be used of thou mighty Christ, bringing the nations into submission to your will. Oh God, our nation needs help tonight, Lord. Our nation needs help, Lord. It needs help. Lord, we don't know the hour of our visitation. Help us, Jesus. Lord, shake us. Oh, God, let our cry come up unto Thee tonight, Lord, even into Thy temple. Bow down, Lord, and hear our cry. Hear our cry that comes forth not out of feigned lips. Hear us, Lord, and shake, we pray. Oh, God, come down, Lord, and make the cherub, Lord, Thy chariot. Ride upon the wings of the wind, O God. Shake the hills, uncover the channels of waters. God, we need help tonight, Lord. We're nothing in ourselves, Lord. We're not religious prizes, Lord. We're the dust of the ground calling unto you. Oh, God, have mercy on us. We are of unclean lips and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Oh, God, help us, Lord. Purge our nation of its iniquity, O God. Purge our nation of its iniquity, O God. Cause righteousness to flow down from thy throne as a mighty torrent of grace, O God. Cause righteousness to be poured out from on high. My God, the truth will stand resurrected in the streets, O God. Do something, do something, do something, do something, Lord. We're a needy people. We're poor and naked and miserable and blind and wretched, O God. Oh, God, we need eyes sad that we may see. Jesus, 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 Jesus. gold tried in the fire, Lord, that we may be rich. Oh, God, we're a needy people. Our nation is needy. Lord God, help and do whatever is necessary, Lord, to bring the United States into submission to the gospel, into submission, Lord, that it, the nation may observe to do all that you have commanded. Lord, drive out the secular spirit. Drive out the atheistic spirit. Drive out the spirit of violence and of lust and of perversion. Drive them out, Lord, by your mighty angels. We are undone in our sins. We are unclean. We are without God. We boast of our wisdom, Lord, and we are fools because we do not fear thee, O God. We pray to one another, Lord. We do not abandon ourselves unto crying unto our mighty King. Jesus, 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 Jesus. We boast ourselves of revelation, Lord, and we know nothing at all. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. Here in thy holy dwelling place, have mercy upon our nation. Have mercy upon our nation. Have mercy upon our nation, oh God, for it is sick and sinful, poor and needy, groping for the light, Lord, and staggering about as the blind and the drunken. Lord, without God and without hope in the world, having a name that it lives and is dead in sin. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Oh, God, we're a needy people. Oh, God, bring your churches to repentance, Lord. Cause the ministers to weep between the porch and the altar. God, give us a spirit of humility, 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 Lord. Humble our nation that it may pray. Humble our nation that it may pray. Bring it to its knees, Lord, that it may pray. Oh, God, and your church especially, Lord, for we're supposed to be the guide, the light, the teachers of the blind, Lord, the leaders of the blind and the teachers of the ignorant. Oh, God, and what do we know and what do we show forth, Lord? Oh, God, the light that is in us be darkness. The whole world is in darkness. Oh, God. We need you tonight, Lord. We need you to come from heaven and bow the heavens. Oh, God, don't let this charade go on any longer. This farce, Lord, because we're not righteous and we're not serving you as we should. Oh, God, help us, Lord. We're poor and needy people and we depend on you, Lord. Hallelujah. We know nothing at all. And we have no strength and no wealth, Lord. You are our rock. You and you alone, Jesus, are our strength and our fortress and our hope, Lord. We're held in the palm of your hand. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. In your mercy on our nation, Lord. Do something, Lord. Make our nation a righteous nation. A righteous nation, a Christian nation, a God-fearing nation. In the schools, drive out the atheism, Lord. It's a lie. It's of the devil. Drive it out, Lord. We don't need freedom of inquiry. We need the truth of God. Our children don't need to decide for themselves. They need to be fed with butter and honey, that they may know how to choose the good and reject the evil. Lord, why should they have to learn again from the time of Eden to decide? God, Satan encouraged Adam and Eve to think for themselves. And mankind has paid an awful price. God, help us not to teach our children to think for themselves, but to learn the Word of God. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus! We're a needy, deceived people. Oh, God, thinking we're intelligent, Lord, we become fools. Jesus, Lord, teach us to fear God. Teach us to love you. That's the whole duty of man. Oh, God, bring us to our knees in prayer that we may be a righteous nation in our schools, in our government, in business, an example to the world. of the kingdom of God. Oh, Jesus, grant that our whole nation will be baptized and profess Christ. Oh, grant it, Lord, you've got the power. You're the omnipotent Christ. You're the Son of God. Do it, Lord, and help us to pay the price in prayer and in obedience that it may come to pass. Hallelujah. That America will be a righteous, God-fearing, God-obeying nation, that it may be saved in the day of Christ. Oh God, that our children and our grandchildren and great-grandchildren may live in a nation that fears God. Hallelujah. Grant that, Lord, lest our nation be swallowed up with the vipers of hell while the church is deceived. Oh, God, we need your help. We need your help. Help us not to be like Hezekiah that says it's all right as long as there's peace in my time. God, help us to pray so that the generations to come may live in a God-fearing nation. Whatever it takes, Lord, whatever it takes, do it. And we will praise your wonderful name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Abaraka hasilia. Karabaka handaralabaha shiki silia alabaha. Oh, thou mighty Christ. How thou mighty Christ. Thou mighty Christ. Oh, Jesus. Thou mighty Christ, comfort in me. Thy will and way I yield to thee. The barren sing a travailing song. Oh, praise his name, it won't be long. Shall we stand? Thou mighty Christ, come forth in me. My will I yield to thee. The barren sing a travailing song. Oh, praise his name. It won't be to be true of you, raise your hands. Let's allow Christ, hallelujah, to come forth in us. Hallelujah. Amen, O Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. say,
Christ, come forth, my people. Come forth, thou mighty Christ. Come forth, my people. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, we sing a travailing song. Oh, God, come forth. Come forth, come forth, come forth. Come forth, come forth, come forth. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, thou art mighty in thy holy dwelling place. Oh, thou art mighty in thy dwelling place. Oh, thou hast come forth. Oh, thou hast come forth. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, Christ, Christ, Christ. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask Joe Perotti if he'll just conclude in prayer time.
Father, we just come before you tonight.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, thank you for
yes, Lord.
Our strength and our
covenant. Yes, Lord.
Father, in the time of trouble, each and every day that we run to you and find shelter,
yes, Lord.
You, O God, we might be covered in your
cloak, yes, Lord.
And the only covering,
Lord. Yes, Lord.
Father God, we just love you so much right now. We yes, pray Lord. That you would just continue to lead our every move into in our life, that we might be changed and transformed into your image, O God.
Yes, Lord.
Let it be a cry of our heart, Lord, that we might be transformed, O God, and you might meet the needs of other people. Father God, we just love you so much right now. We pray that your blessing would go upon each and every one in this assembly.
Yes,
they might be a light in a dark place.
Yes, Lord.
We just praise you now, God, and bless your holy name.
Amen. God bless everyone.